All right. Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Is everyone awake? When I walked in this morning, it did not seem like everyone was awake. It took me a while to wake up this morning. But here we are in the house of the Lord, and we're all awake, and we all love each other, right? Everyone love each other? Okay, good. If you don't love each other, then you don't know God. You know, the Bible actually says that. If you don't love, then you don't know God, right? Okay, I'm not going to be too harsh with you this morning. But I do want to say that since Adrian got up here and talked about going to Mainstay Farm, I just want to give a little reminder to us as followers of Jesus that we should be kind to people that are working in service industries. You know, when I go out, which I try not to very much anymore, I work from home, and I love it. But when I go out, it always breaks my heart when I see people treating people in the service industry like they are less than them, or they are their slave, that they owe them something. And you know what's sad is a lot of times when that's happening, it's people that go to church. So I just want to say to be kind. And being kind goes a long way, a very long way. When we come to church, and I've said this up here before, and for those, I know that there's a lot of guests. My name is Rachel Ellenson. I am the assistant pastor here. Pastor Corey and Rochelle are out of town this weekend doing a wedding. October is a big wedding month. And Pastor Colin and Pastor Tiffany are here today, but they will not be next weekend because then they are doing a wedding. So happy weddings all the way around. But when we come to church, when we gather together, how many of you know that coming to church and church attendance is not your Christianity? Coming to church, gathering together with people who are like-minded in faith, this is supposed to stir each other up in love and good works so that when you go out and you live your life, you are stirred in love and good works so that everywhere you go, you are spreading the love of Christ. This right here, like, this should not be a goal of anybody to get up here and be able to speak. It's not my goal. I'm humbled that I get to be up here and that God's given me the opportunity to teach, but this is not the goal. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, it says that he's given some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. What's the other one? Prophets? I don't remember. There's five, okay? We could go through it and read it, but it's for the equipping of the saints. This is for the equipping of the saints, so that we can all grow up into God, into being the body of Christ, which is what we are supposed to be. Every single one of us, the Bible talks about this. The Bible's a really good book to read, okay? The Bible says this in so many different books in the New Testament, that when the body of Christ is working properly, that we're growing up and that we're walking in love. But how many of you know that so many times, even in the body of Christ, that we let the things that come against us, I said this last time, but it just came back on my heart. Don't ever let sin against you produce sin in you. So when somebody does wrong to you, do not think that you should do wrong back. And we've sold ourselves so cheap, that we just, everything that happens to us, that's our response back to life, back to the people that are around us. And our response is always supposed to be rooted in love. And that takes all of the guesswork out of it. So no matter what anybody does to you, your response is love. Love. Does that mean that it doesn't hurt when somebody does something to you? Like, or somebody accuses you of something, or somebody does wrong, or somebody steals from you? No, that does not feel good. But do you think it felt good to Jesus when he went to the cross? Absolutely not. But he never got moved from love. What we are supposed to be as the body of Christ is followers of him, and he's love. He's the manifestation of love. And Christ in us, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. And glory is the manifest presence of God being made known in the world. So that means that you're walking around. Kaylee set it up here this morning. Jesus left us with Holy Spirit. That means you are always walking around with the power of the Spirit, which means that you can always respond in love. That means that no matter what goes on around you, that you can manifest Christ wherever you are. Wherever you are. And I'm so, it's sickening to see the body of Christ being beat up all the time. And it's so sad that it doesn't take too much from the enemy to get us to sell out. Christianity is so simple, but we make it so complicated because we choose not to walk in love. When you get moved from love, you get moved from doing the will of God. So don't do it. Just don't be moved from love. And our circumstances, the things that happen in life, you know, a lot of times we measure the goodness of God by the way that our life is going, by the things that are happening in our life. But how many of you know that in Matthew, you know, it seems like we're just staying in Matthew today, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. Let's talk about Matthew chapter 5 too, okay? That's a great, if you want to know somewhere you should go and read the Bible, just spend some time in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Spend some time there instead of watching what is rumored to be going on in the world through media all the time. Spend more time in the Bible. I'm just gonna put that in there because you know what? The media, it produces what? Fear. How many of you can watch anything going on the news? I don't care what news network it is. I don't care what political beliefs you have. It doesn't matter. How many of you can watch what's going on in the world and not be moved to fear? There's a temptation to be afraid. And Jesus says, he says in Matthew, I think it's 24, there will be wars and rumors of wars, right? But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, these things must happen. But are we ready as the church for these things to happen? Or are we going to be moved by fear of what could happen maybe next door or maybe to us? You cannot walk in fear and walk in love at the same time. They're opposites and they don't go together. Because fear is rooted in selfishness, and love is rooted in selflessness. And you can't be selfish and selfless at the same time. God calls us to walk in love. And this is the circumstances that happen to us. Sometimes whenever we decide that we're going to follow Jesus. How many of you have ever decided that you're resurrendering your life to Jesus and then something really bad happens? And what happens so often is that when that something really bad that happens to you makes you throw your hands up, I knew God didn't really love me. I knew he wasn't in my life. I knew he wouldn't answer that prayer. I knew he wouldn't heal me when I asked for healing. When you don't see something change, it doesn't mean, let me say this a different way. Believe this, believe the word of God over your circumstances. We define this so often through our experiences instead of looking at this and then our experiences, looking at our experiences through this. This should be the lens that you look through of everything in life. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says the wise man built his house on the rock, right? And the foolish man built his house on the sand. Okay? We've said this. This has been said from this pulpit several times, but it's worth repeating. And how many know that Paul actually wrote the same thing to the churches? And he said, me writing the same thing to you is no trouble to me. It's a safeguard for you. So we need to constantly be reminded of truths, okay? And the truth of who Jesus is, because Jesus is the truth and he sets us free. So the wise man and the foolish man, they build their houses. Does it say that the storm only comes to the foolish man? No. The wind and the rain came to both. But the wise man, his house did not fall because his house was built on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. That's the point. It doesn't say those words, but that's what Jesus is saying. When your life is built on me, when the storms of life come, you will not fall. And in Revelation, youth pastor Alex, which he just, you just look like a youth pastor. Okay, it's great. But when last time that he was up here, he talked about that we, oh, in Revelation, I don't remember what the reference is, but it says it, you can find it, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you hear that in church all the time, right? Okay. All right. He's going to get that. All right. we're okay, but the third one that Pastor Alex preached last time that he was up here is, does anybody remember it? Alex, you don't get to answer. Does anybody remember the other part? Loving not your own life unto death. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and loving not your own life unto death. But we do, we love our life way too much. And the thing is, it's not even about death. It's just about giving up something that we want, something that we desire. We're not willing to give that up. And I'm telling you, if we're gonna follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. All of our crosses look a little different, okay? The same burden that you bear, which you take it to Jesus, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? So he gives you the grace to be able to bear anything that comes against you. But all of it looks different because you're going to go through something that's different than what I go through, and vice versa, every single person. But the thing is that Jesus has already given you the power to overcome. You just can't love your life more than him. And it's a paradox because it's like, okay, if I lay down my life, then what do I get? Well, you actually get a lot. You get freedom. You get freedom. And how many of you want to be free? Everyone wants to be free. But we walk around in a prison to our circumstances and respond in ways that are contrary to what we truly believe. And why do we do that? Because we do not guard our hearts. I actually hit a scripture that I sent in to Kathy. Proverbs 4:23. Yes. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. There's some versions that say, guard your heart above all else. Why? Because out of it flow the springs of life. So often we want things in our life to change. We want our behavior to change. We want the things that come out of our mouth to change. How many of you have ever said something you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that? Or you walk away from a conversation, you get in a heated argument, and you walk away and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Let me tell you this. The reason why you said it is because it was in your heart. So you have to guard your heart before you ever get into a conversation. You have to guard your heart before you ever get in the car and have to drive in traffic. Yes, I'm talking to my dad and my husband. Okay, I'm talking to everyone. It's easy for me to say that because I don't drive as much as I used to. So how many of you know when you're sitting in the passenger seat, it's a lot easier to have a peaceful response? My husband's gotten to the point where he's like, I know. After he says something, he doesn't curse at anyone or anything like that. But it's very easy in Texas, which my husband's convinced that Texas has the worst drivers in the world. I think everyone's just distracted, okay? It's distracted drivers. So don't be a distracted driver, okay? But how did I get off on that? Okay, yeah, guarding your heart. So you have to guard your heart and not let anything grow in there. Don't let a bitter root grow in there. Don't let offense grow in there. So when somebody, how many of you have ever been around somebody who's offended? How hard is it to be in a relationship with them? Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's tough. It's really tough. And if you don't think it's tough, then you're probably the offended person. So when something happens and you let offense grow in your heart, you are keeping yourself from being able to receive and give love. There are some people that are in my life that they're so offended and it breaks my heart so much because I love them. I love them so much. And they're not offended necessarily with me, with something that I did, but they're just offended at something that happened 15 years ago. And they've let this bitter root grow in their heart because they didn't guard their heart. And now the only thing that flows out of them is offense, unforgiveness, and bitterness. It shouldn't be this way. It should not be this way. And how many of you know that we actually define so many of our circumstances and the way that we react by the movies that we watch, the TV that we watch, relationships? It's like you feel so good whenever you watch a movie and you see one spouse cheat on the other one, and then you feel so good when the other one gets back at him or something bad happens in their life, right? Like it's almost a guilty pleasure for so many of us when we see bad things happen to people that have done something bad, right? That's actually the opposite of the Bible. But it's how we define our life, and that's how we walk around and we live based on things that we've seen and the things that we've grown up in, the things that we've grown up watching, instead of living out of the Word of God and what Jesus tells us to do. It is so, so simple. The gospel is so simple. It's love. It's love. Love is the foundation of everything. So whenever you're guarding your heart, ask the Lord to search your heart and get anything out of there that shouldn't be there. Ask him to show you. And you don't have to, it doesn't have to be some deep, day, week long, whatever. It's just, God, show me. And then here we are, freedom, right? It's not something that you necessarily has to be this long process that you have to walk through. Maybe sometimes it is, but just ask him to show you so that you can recognize it and get rid of it. And sometimes you already know what it is, but you just don't want to surrender it because it hurt too bad. And you can't stand the thought of the person that has done something against you, that they would just be let free and that there would be no punishment for what they've done. That's not the Jesus way. Phil Wickham has a song out that's called The Jesus Way. I suggest, or I highly encourage you to look up that song and to listen to the words of it, because it comes from the Bible, and it's beautiful. One of the words that come from the Bible in that song is, "When you curse me, I will bless you." Man, it's so hard for us to do that sometimes, right? But the reason why it's so hard is because we don't guard our hearts. We don't guard our hearts against the things that are in this world. Because if we truly understood, I mean, if we're honest, many of us have cursed God, and he's still chosen to bless us. We've walked away from him, and he's still there every time we come back. All it is it's turning your eyes and looking at him instead of looking at the world. Put your focus on him. And don't let the world define your life. Don't let the world define your responses. Believe God. Believe him. Believe his word. And to believe his word, you have to know his word, which means that you should read his word. This is not just for pastors and teachers to read. This is for every single one of you. How many of you actually have a physical copy of your Bible? Not here, but just period. You have a physical copy of a Bible. That's good. That's really good, because I have it here, and then I've got like six on here, right? Or like all the translations on your phone, which is great. But spend time reading it. Just read it. Read it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you're reading it so that you can actually understand it. Don't just read it to read and say, yep, I read my five chapters today, or my one chapter today. I read a chapter of Proverbs with my husband to make sure that he reads the Bible every day. I'm just kidding. But I do love throwing him under the bus. It's so much fun. My mom told me not to do it this morning, but I just had to. But read and understand. You know, the book of Proverbs, it's actually really good. That's where Proverbs 4:23, it comes out of there, right? Guard your heart. Get wisdom and get understanding. That's Proverbs, right? Get wisdom and get understanding. Don't despise discipline. All of these things are in the book of Proverbs. And there's 31 chapters, so it's super convenient, because most of the time there's 31 or 30 days in a month. So you can read a chapter for every day of the month. And then the months that there's only 30 days, on the 30th, you get to read two chapters, and it's great. So then you're just extra Christian. But here's the thing. Reading your Bible does not make you a Christian. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. And being doers means that you're going to walk in love, because that's what Jesus came for. It was love that caused him to come to the world to die for us. Love. That's why he did it. For God so loved the world. He wasn't so fed up with the world. No, he so loved the world that he realized that we needed a savior. There was no way that the law was going to save us. No, it was Jesus, the fulfillment of the law. And the fulfillment of the law comes back to love. First and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on those two commands. So don't get moved from them. And when you don't know what to do, just make sure that your heart is established and rooted in love. And if you find yourself and you don't know, I was just talking to someone the other day, if you know you're going to have a hard conversation with somebody and you know that you're going to be tempted to say something, you know, that you shouldn't say, maybe it's better if you're just quiet, right? If you don't say anything at all, right? The Bible actually says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, right? But I'm going to take that a step further and say, not the Bible, but I'm just saying, like, if you're not going to say something, do it with love in your heart. Don't not respond to somebody and be bitter, because they can tell. You can tell. And you know that in your heart that there's bitterness. So if something doesn't need to be said, just don't, then don't say it, but don't let your heart get moved from love. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. So if you're going to say anything, make sure it's kind. And the only way that you're, and don't say a kind word just because you know it's the right thing to say. Make sure it's in your heart. Which means that you've got to guard your heart. And you do that daily. You don't wait until you get in a situation and think, oh man, I did let that come in my heart. No, you wake up every day. Throughout your day, be in communion with God, because he wants to be in communion with you. That means that you are talking with him, right? Maybe not out loud. Some people might think you're crazy if you're just walking around talking out loud. Nobody's around you, which is fine. But he wants to be in fellowship with you all the time. All the time. And the Holy Spirit will give you the right things to say in every situation. There will never be a time that you are left alone, because Holy Spirit is with you. Okay, I'm also going to bring up a scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, I believe is what I sent. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. All of it. Not just some of it. Because there's areas in our life that we're like, oh, yep, that's an easy thing to trust God with, right? And then there's other things that it's not so easy. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There's going to be a lot of things that don't make sense in the world, in the perspective of the world, that don't make sense. But this scripture is clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. You guys, the Bible is so good. It's so good. And we need to learn how to be established in the Word of God. And if you have a hard time reading the Bible because you don't understand things in the Bible, guess who you have? The Holy Spirit. He'll enlighten your mind to understand things that you've never been able to understand before. I've been reading the Bible since I was really, really little. And there's chapters that I remember reading when I was little that I go back and I read them now, and I see something new every time. Because the Holy Spirit, is revealing those things to me, and I'm growing up into him. So the Bible's never boring. It's not just a one-time read and you're done. No, go and spend time in the Word of God. Go and spend time there. I'm going to end with Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to remind us that, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there. It is going to come up on the screen, though. Ephesians chapter 6. starting in verse 12, I think. Yes. I guess I should read it from there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Oh, it's starting in verse 10, sorry. That's why it wasn't lining up. Okay. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the things that we can see. Our struggle is not against each other. But man, we buy into that a lot. I don't want to be around that person. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish some of the flaming arrows of the evil one. All. The shield of faith. You can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. So whatever it is that's coming against you, if it's your kids that are coming against you, remind yourself that your struggle is not against flesh and blood. Because that'd be real easy. If it's your boss that's coming against you, remind yourself that your struggle is not against flesh and blood. And take up the shield of faith, because the shield of faith, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And his goal is to move you from love. That's his goal. If he can move you from love, then you're not following Jesus. Because the Bible, you know, I started out, the Bible literally says, if you don't love, you don't know God. It's because you don't know God. If you're not loving, it's because you don't really know God. That's not condemnation. That is, hey, wake up and get with the Lord and say, I want to know you. And in knowing him, you will walk in love. See, I want to, there's some empty seats in here today, right? I mean, so I don't know how many more people we could get in here, but how many of you know that even if the goal is not to fill up this building, the goal is for all of you to become and walk in love. Because the deal is that even if this building is full, is that if every church in America was full, do you think that that's going to change the world? No. What's going to change the world? Us becoming like him, us walking in love. That's what's going to change the world. Now, should we come to church? Yes. Yeah, this is where we stir each other up. This is where I'm encouraged, because I see Tammy every Sunday, and she's got a smile on her face, and I'm encouraged every time that I see her. Because she has a joyful outlook on life, and I love it. I was actually thinking about it when I was falling asleep last night. I was like, thank you, Lord, for Tammy. It's just, can we be that kind of people that people want to be around us because we bring joy, because we're walking in love, and we don't have some chip on our shoulder that we're trying to make things even or right because of things that have happened in our life? I don't think everything goes perfectly in Tammy's life. But she's not going to get moved from love. She's not going to. Determine in your heart and in your mind that you will not be moved from love. And I guarantee you that when you do this, if you go out and you decide that you're going to praise the Lord no matter what, how many of you know that something might happen right after you do that? Don't get moved from love. Because then you're just selling out cheap. You're saying, yep, that the enemy's like, oh, that's all it took? Perfect. Don't do it. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your sword is the word of God. And it's not just knowing it, it's becoming it. Become love. You know, I love the armor of God. I love it. Because it's protecting everything, right? That your loins would be guarded, having girded your loins with truth. Truth reproduces truth. So make sure that your loins, your reproductive area, okay, is girded with truth, the belt of truth, okay? The breastplate of righteousness that covers your heart. You've been made righteous in Christ. You have been made righteous through Christ. It's not anything that you've done. It's a gift of God. It's his grace that saves you, not so that anyone can boast, because no one can boast, because there's not one person in here that's never done anything wrong. Not one person. The only perfect one is Jesus, and he's given us a way to be able to follow him. So also don't buy in to elevating a person up here, okay? This is Jesus, and we're all following after him. Because if you put your faith in a person, in a teacher, in a pastor, in an evangelist, in a prophet, in whoever, who knows that they're going to fail you? Your trust should not be in that, in a person. Your trust should be in God. He's the only one that will never fail you. That's why a pastor can do something maybe that's out of line, and you don't have to be broken by it. And how many of you know that that's happened all throughout the church? Pastors have fallen. And therefore, the sheep have scattered. But it doesn't have to be that way, because you should have never been following the pastor in the first place. You follow Jesus. And you pray for your pastors. We should pray for our pastors. But we don't hinge our lives on them. Hinge your lives here on Jesus. And this is one of my favorite ones. I promise I'm almost done. Your feet are shod. The wording here always confuses me. They're shod, which is they're put on, okay? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means wherever you walk, you have peace. You take peace into chaotic situations because you're already prepared, because your heart's been guarded and you're established in love and you're following Christ. That means that you can walk into your boss losing their mind. You can walk into your family at Thanksgiving or Christmas where everyone hates each other, and you can walk in and have peace because you are God's child and you're walking and following him. You're not allowing your family, you're not allowing your workplace to define how you're going to live your life. It doesn't, just put the piece on your shoes. Go like this. Put the piece on your shoes. I do this when I'm at the gym and I'm doing the stair stepper. Sometimes when I listen to the Bible, a lot of times I'm listening to the book of Ephesians, and this is the sixth chapter, right? And I'm on the stair stepper, and sometimes I look around to see if anybody's looking at me, but I'm like, put on the belt of truth, I put it in that, and then I just try to act like I'm just, you know, stretching. it's kind of hard to get to my feet sometimes on the stair stepper without falling, so I just go like this. But you got to remind yourself, you never take this armor off. You know, I've heard it said, you know, put on the armor of God every day. Never take it off. Never take it off. But you do have to remind yourself that you've got this on. That wherever you walk, that you're walking in peace. How many of you know the world needs peace right now? Helmet of salvation. Renew your mind on a daily basis. Don't let anything come in your mind. Protect. There's a lot of commercials going on right now that they're like, if you hit your head, get it checked. I don't know if you've seen any of those. It's just interesting to me because I've had a lot of concussions. But if you put on a helmet of salvation, you can't. It's protecting your head, right? So protect your mind every day. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul says it. Peter says it. Jesus pretty much says it, just in different words. And don't forget your sword. Your sword is the word of God. Know this word. Become intimate with God through reading his word. Okay, I'm done. Here is the point. Guard your heart. Would you bow your heads this morning? And this is personal between you and the Lord. This has nothing to do with anybody else in the room. Nobody else can see your heart. Half the time, we don't even know what's going on in our hearts. So ask the Holy Spirit right now to search your heart and to show you those places that have kept you from knowing God. See, God has so much for you, and it's not just about physical blessings. It's not about material blessings. It's about being set free in him. And just ask him this morning to set your heart free. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to everybody here in this room this morning. That you would show us, show me, God, the area in my heart where I haven't trusted you, where I haven't believed you. If I've let a bitter root grow in my heart, get it out. If I've let unforgiveness grow in my heart, get it out. If I've let disappointment grow in my heart, get it out. Clean me out so that I can shine for you wherever I go. God, help us not to sell ourselves cheap because you paid such a high price for us to be free. Lord, I ask that your truth would come in and that deception would go, that the areas in our lives where we've been deceived, let us see the truth of who you are so that we can walk in the freedom that you paid for. Lord, we love you. We accept your forgiveness. And we give your forgiveness to those who have trespassed against us. We accept and we give. God, you're so good and we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for the price that you paid for us. In Jesus' name, amen.